Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host, and our guest today is Curtis Coy, Deputy Undersecretary for Economic Opportunity within the U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs. So I'd like to discuss efforts to improve employment outcomes. And in particular, would you tell us about the Veterans Employment Initiative Task Force? What recommendations has it offered to maximize career readiness transitioning service members?
The president's plan was to call for a career-ready military. And so to meet that call, the VA and the Department of Defense led the Veterans Employment Initiative, or VEI as you referred to it, task force, and proposed a new training and services delivery model to help strengthen the transition of our service members. I was on that task force. From the work that was accomplished on this Veterans Employment Initiative task force, the bottom line that came out of that is a redesigned transition assistance program, the TAP program, and the TAP GPS program, goals, plans, and success. And so that was centered around sort of four key concepts. Adopt standards of career readiness for transitioning service members. In other words, making sure that service members are prepared to leave the Department of Defense and are ready. Implement a revamped transition assistance program curriculum. Implement a capstone event where a service member receives validation. In other words, making sure that that service member has been deemed ready to transition from DOD to civilian life. And then finally, implement a military life cycle transition model. In other words, rather than cram all of this in their very end of their enlistment or their service in DOD, create a culture across DOD that when they begin their service in the military at boot camp, they begin this process of making sure that they're going to be career ready as they leave the service. So those four concepts, you know, sort of reinforce that effective transition that can contribute to those positive outcomes, meaning meaningful employment. And that meaningful employment affects the veteran and affects their family and affects the communities that they live in. And so a successful veteran in a community also helps drive the economic success of that community.
So, Kurt, would you elaborate on VA's vocational rehabilitation and employment benefits? What has been done to expand it?
Well, as I've mentioned earlier, Michael, the Vocational Rehabilitation and Employment Program is for wounded warriors and disabled veterans and assists those folks with service-connected disabilities to prepare for, find, and keep suitable or meaningful employment. And so those veterans that have that service-connected disability that are so severe that they cannot immediately work, this program also offers services to improve the lives of those veterans to live as independently as possible. Mm-hmm. So we have in our Vocational Rehabilitation and Employment Service, we have five tracks: re-employment, rapid access to employment, self-employment, employment through long-term services, and then independent living. So four of our five tracks are all geared toward employment. And we have a wide swath of tools that veterans can leverage to achieve those goals of employment and or independent living. So the first one, for example, is education and training. Talked about the post 9/11 GI Bill, the most extensive, comprehensive educational benefit ever provided to veterans. Those veterans that have disabilities or are wounded warriors, they get all of that and they get much, much more, which is incredibly exciting as I go through it. And so, for example, if you're a post 9/11 vet, you would get not only all of the post 9/11 GI Bill benefits, but much more. For example, instead of 36 months of benefits, you would get 48 months. For example, instead of $1,000 a year for books, you get books, whether it's $500 or $1,500, we pay for the books. We pay for 100% of your tuition, because in some cases of the post 9/11 GI Bill, we pay up to a certain amount. There's different business rules. In vocational rehabilitation employment, you get tuition, period. And so what we do is it provides all of those benefits and more. We also have counselors. Again, as I mentioned earlier, we have over 800 counselors across the country, 56 regional offices, and a number of offices that are outpaced. And what our VRE counselors do is also help veterans with their resume, job seeking, job placement. They help participate them in mock interviews, networking with employers, negotiating salary requirements. And so we do an entire sort of case management for that wounded warrior or disabled veteran. We also provide counseling to all veterans. We call it our Chapter 36 educational counseling. And that provides a wide range of educational and vocational counseling to veterans, service members, and eligible family members that are using GI Bill benefits across the board. I think one of the other things that we've started in the last number of years is the Integrated Disability Evaluation System. And what that does is it places over 200 vocational rehabilitation and employment services counselors within DOD bases. And so before that veteran gets out of the service, we have a counselor there explaining to that wounded warrior or disabled veteran the benefits and services, and we start that case file while they're still in DOD.
So you've mentioned during our conversation, you've alluded to the certain qualities that veterans bring to the workforce, and I'd like to understand what they are. What do veterans bring to the workforce, and what should prospective employees know about the characteristics of veterans and service members?
Well, it's another great question, Michael, and it's one that I spend a lot of time on, not only speaking to constituent groups, but also speaking to employers. And whenever I talk to them about hiring veterans, the first thing I say to them is, hiring a veteran makes good business sense. And then I go into explaining why it makes good business sense. The military experience that veterans bring to the workforce makes them resilient, motivated to succeed, dependable, and reliable. Billions of dollars have been invested in training of this specifically post-9/11 generation of veterans, and it's one of the most tech-savvy and broadly skilled military forces in the world. Think about all of these veterans and the amount of tools that they've used in the military, and they're now coming into the workforce. Veterans, I tell them, are a good investment. Employers who have established hiring practices that seek veterans are not disappointed. They're never disappointed, and they continue to hire more. For example, we just released a hiring guide that we helped develop for employers to help connect with military talent.
Kurt, would you elaborate on the special employee incentive programs for hiring disabled veterans?
Great question. That's the Special Employee Incentive Program. It's for wounded warriors or disabled veterans. Quite simply, short story is it is a wonderful program for employers because what we do is we help connect employers with disabled or wounded warrior veterans. We, the VA, will pay up to half of that veteran's salary for the first 6 months. So an employer is not taking on any additional requirements. Rather, we're helping offset the salary of that veteran for the first 6 months of their employment. Not only does the program do that, it also provides the ability to help pay for that veteran's special needs for that job. Not necessarily just disability needs, but needs for that job, whether they range from steel-toed boots or that leather welding vest or specific uniforms. These are all costs that employers would normally pay for. Now the VA is helping pay for them. It's an incentive for employers to want to hire those veterans, and we help offset some of those costs.
Kurt, how are you using social media and the internet to inform veterans about education and employment initiatives?
Again, Michael, it's one of those things that has been evolving. The government doesn't always do social media very well. I would suggest that VA is way ahead of most of its government contemporaries that are out there. We've been using social media platforms to help promote our programs and be transparent to veterans for a number of years now. So, for example, post-9/11 GI Bill Facebook page. Mm-hmm. Now, we all know what Facebook is, but the post-9/11 GI Bill Facebook page, 70,000 followers. And so those kinds of folks, through the page, we send out information on programs. We respond to questions. We have people that actually read every single one. And on occasion, if it requires an answer or a comment or a clarification, we'll go on the Facebook page and make sure that we respond. We also post articles on there or any number of pieces of information. We also have a post-9/11 GI Bill website that houses all those resources and many of the programs that we talked about. Along with program information, it's a repository of frequently asked questions, and soon the website will include that comparison tool that I talked about, the feedback system that I talked about. Our GI Bill website has over 6 million website hits. That's 500,000 a month. So we think we have pretty good experience there. In addition to our web presence, we also participate in events throughout the country to increase awareness of VA benefits. For example, participate in 6 Twitter town halls. Now, if you had asked me a few years ago what's a Twitter and a town hall, I couldn't tell you, but we've done over 6 of them. We've also produced over 10 YouTube videos. And so YouTube is completely foreign to most government agencies. We're not only leveraging YouTube, we're using it increasingly more and more. We also have a vetsuccess.gov website that provides a lot of information on employment and vocational rehabilitation programs across the board. And so we want to make sure that we get as much information out there as possible. We also have a website for all of VA's benefits that is also, and we also have a Facebook page for all of VA benefits as well. So VA is in the social media in full force, whether we're participating in Twitter town halls, whether we're using Facebook, whether we're using LinkedIn. We're doing as much social media as we possibly can.
So beyond the four-year degree program, what other ways are you seeing veterans and service members use their educational benefits in preparation for employment?
So we can also use, or veterans can use their educational benefits on the job training or apprenticeship programs. Since the inception of these programs, about 134,000 veterans have used these programs. What these programs do is it empowers those veterans or their dependents, if they're a post-9/11 GI Bill beneficiary, that allows them to learn a trade or skill through an apprenticeship or on-the-job training program rather than just through the classroom. And what these programs do is if you're a post-9/11 GI Bill veteran, you enter into an apprenticeship or on-the-job training program often at an apprentice level. And so what this program does is it provides a stipend to that veteran, if it's an approved program, such that they get 100% in the first 6 months of the housing stipend. National average of that is about $1,500. Some places it's well over $2,000. Some places it's a little bit less. It's kind of like per diem. It depends on where you're at. So New York City, bigger, higher housing allowance. A rural area in a state somewhere may be much, much lower. And so veterans enter into these apprenticeship programs or on-the-job training programs, and the training contract is developed with the employer or the union, and it provides that stipend for the first 6 months of the apprenticeship or on-the-job training of 100% of the housing allowance. And then for the second 6 months, if it continues into that, it provides for 80%. And then it provides for 60%, and then it provides for 40%. A wonderful program and key incentive for veterans who want to use their post-9/11 GI Bill benefits, but not necessarily in a classroom environment.
What does the future hold for veterans transitioning to civilian life? We will ask Curtis Coy, Deputy Undersecretary for Economic Opportunity within the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs, when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour.